The hydraulic extraction of natural gas, known as fracking, produces cleaner energy than oil and coal, but it's not necessarily in the best interests of the world's poorest countries, UN development experts said on Thursday. In a new report by UNCTAD, the UN Conference on Trade and Development, natural gas is described as a bridge fuel for states aiming to move to renewable energy sources. But it has disadvantages too, not least the fact that its main component is methane, whose global warming potential is 28 times higher than the carbon dioxide that's found in other fossil fuels. Janvier Nkurunziza, chief of UNCTAD's Commodity Research and Analysis section, has been talking to Daniel Johnson about the report's findings.
Yeah, the main message is that shale gas is polluting fuel, less polluting than coal or oil. So it could be a bridge fuel in the transition from the most polluting fuels, coal and oil, and green energy sources, which are solar and hydro and wind.
And the advantages of natural gas, let's talk about whether it's fracked or not later on, but half of the world's resources are in Algeria, Argentina, Canada, China, and the United States. There is a massive debate, though, about fracking, the hydraulic extraction, the hydraulic fracturation of rocks from underground, and it's had a really bad press. So UNCTAD is not saying it shouldn't be done. It's saying that countries should consider very wisely whether they do invest in this as a possible energy solution for the future.
That's right. We are not saying it's good or bad. Whether it's really good or bad depends on a number of factors that we analyze in this report. Geology, sources of water, for example, if you are increasing your water stress by using a lot of water, infrastructure, and so on and so forth. So we are not saying it's good or bad. Just look at the conditions under which you want to exploit this resource, and then you can determine whether you should do it or not.
Let's look at some of those resources needed in the extraction of natural gas from underground by fracking. And one of the main commodities that's needed is water. And in many places, and indeed in future, water is going to become increasingly scarce. So on that basis, presumably it's not a great idea. What do you say to countries that, however, do need the energy and they need it soon?
Even within a country, there are regions where water is at a very high stress. So maybe it wouldn't be a good idea to use the little water that you have for fracking. But you have another part of the country where water is plentiful. So that might not be a problem. So you might go ahead and do it. So it depends. Again, I repeat, it depends where you are, which configuration you are operating in. The US is like an exception. When you look at so many of the factors that are needed to do fracking. So in the US, he who owns land also owns the resource, the subsoil resource. So it's a private decision that you make. If you want to use your land to frack, it's up to you. The US has the highest technology that's available for this to happen. The US has great infrastructure to do this. The US has a very strong financial system. You need huge investments to do this. You need a flexible financial system to do this. In the US, sometimes when the prices go down, they stop fracking. When the prices increase a little bit, investments are there. So investors would come and do it. So it's very flexible. I don't think we have other countries in the world which have all these factors together.
So natural gas extraction by fracking is mainly happening in the United States, although there is the potential for it happening elsewhere. But maybe you could give me the advantages of natural gas. I believe it's at the moment about a quarter of the world's energy mix at the moment.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right. It's about 22% of, The advantage is really that, first of all, it's a traditional source of energy. So we know how natural gas works. We've known this for many years. So that is one. The second thing is that it's flexible. It's flexible because you can decide to increase it, you can store it. So that is good. You cannot store solar power. It's very difficult to store solar power, for example. And now with improvements in transport of natural gas, you can move it from one point to another point of the globe.
But seriously, I guess I can see the advantages. It produces less carbon dioxide, but it also produces methane, which isn't great for the environment. And that's already at shocking levels, according to the World Meteorological Organization. But I'm just wondering, you know, this is the 21st century. Should we be relying on a destructive technology like this when there will be the means increasingly to store solar energy by other means, by battery fields, for example?
No, that's exactly the message. We are not saying that we should all go into natural gas. No, we are saying that we should all encourage the use and production of green energy. But if you look at the energy mix now, that represents a very tiny share of the energy consumption. So you cannot just overnight decide that you are going to be green. So that's why we are wondering. It's a question we pose. Could it be a bridge fuel? So bridging really these two, let's say, periods, the period now where we are relying so heavily on these polluting fuels, which are mostly coal and oil, including natural gas is the third most polluting energy, and then the least polluting fuels, solar and wind and others. But it's going to take a long time and a lot of technological advances, a lot of investments to get from one point to the next. So what do we do?
Just to interrupt this quickly, as a bridge, are you suggesting it might be used for decades or for a decade? Is it because I think there's, 60 years worth of supply in the world? That's the last estimate, isn't it?
I think the question to ask is, when is the world going to be comfortable producing enough solar, enough wind energy? That's the question. And what do until we get there? That's really the question. So I can't tell you it's in 20, 30 years' time. Nobody knows. But that is the question that we need to ask. So we are not pushing for natural gas. We are saying that it's less polluting in terms of CO2. It's less polluting than the other two sources. But it's a polluting source of energy as well.
It's no silver bullet.
It's no silver bullet. It's just, that's why we call it a transition. I mean, it can be used in the transition period because it's just less polluting, but it is polluting. So let's be clear about that.